All good, Aaron. It's all good. Thank you. Guys, give our techs a hand back there. They're doing a good job. I just want to thank them. Week after week after week, they do their very best to make sure that, you know, everything runs smoothly and that the sermons get up online. Sometimes it just doesn't happen, and we don't fret about it. We don't, it's okay. Well, maybe next week. You know, maybe it's just an in-house sermon that, you know, we only needed here in-house, you know. But they do a fantastic job week after week. Pray for Brother Fish and Misty. They're out riding or doing something. They're spending time together, much needed quality time together today. So I think it's very vital for them to be able to spend some quality time together without having to do work or taking care of grandkids or daughters or whatever they're doing. They need to spend time together as a husband and wife. So I pray that their time today is joyous. All right. Well, today we're in James chapter 2. We're going to be picking up in verse 14 here in a minute. The title of today's sermon is Labor of Love. Labor of Love. And as I was researching and putting the sermon together, you know, I talks about faith and works. Faith and works. And I said, Lord, because it says that faith without works is dead, right? And I said, okay. I said, Lord, well, last week I called them, you know, spiritual gluttons if they don't do anything with their teaching, you know, with our Bible study and stuff. And I don't want to have to come at them again like that. I said, I really need a good sermon title that will go and flow into what we've been talking about. Labor of Love is the title of today's sermon. And I hope that you guys will get why I called it that by the end of the sermon. So Labor of Love is the title of today's sermon. I'm going to ask you guys to do something for me. We're going to dive right into God's Word. I'm going to read the small passage, but if you all would stand with me as we read God's Word. I appreciate you guys being willing to stand. It's just I want to give reverence to God and His Word. Starting at verse 14. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm and filled, without giving them the things needed for their body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? What was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith has been active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. You see, that person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. You may be seated. I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer and pray over the sermon part. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much again for this day. Lord God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for allowing it to be sharper than any two-edged sword, being able to pierce the hearts and the thoughts of man. Lord God, we ask as we break this up a little bit, Lord, that people will hear what the message that you want them to hear. Lord God, don't let me just be up here babbling away and not, you know, making any sense. Holy Spirit, I ask you to take over and let it flow as you see fit. Pray for the sermon. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right. So the power of faith is not how much can I do. The power of faith is not how much can I do, but how much God can do. The power of faith is not how much can I do. It's not about me. It's not about how much I can do, but God who is working through me, right? Because God doesn't need us. He said, I don't need the people. If they don't worship me, I'll get the rocks to do it, right? You've heard me say that. The Bible says that. But how much God can do. Faith saves us because it puts us into God's hands. It drops us into salvation that he has already finished. That's A.B. Simpson. A.B. Simpson said that. When it comes to faith and works, I believe in labor and love and appreciation to God for his salvation to us. We should serve God by serving others. I said that. When it comes to faith and works, I believe it is in labor and in love. In appreciation to God for his salvation to us, we should serve God by serving others. I had the privilege of talking to Brandon Nutter this week, and he was telling me about their mission at the greenhouse. Here is how they are laboring in love. Starting classes at the greenhouse, teaching English through God's Word and basic finance classes. They are planting a church out of the greenhouse and have about 30 members in attendance. Working with the Americans to help raise up the laborers of love to help continue the mission of all of Jesus for all the world. They are praying for a long-term help. This is one of the things that they ask that we be praying for, is that they get long-term help, not just short-term missions trips, which they invited us to come over on. But they need long-term help, people who are willing to go and give up their lives here in America and go live a sacrificial life over there. Faith without works is dead, right? So we have faith. Our works ought to show that we're thankful to be able to have that faith in the salvation. I titled it Labor of Love because if we're laboring for the kingdom and we're loving Jesus like we say we are, then it doesn't matter. Then it doesn't matter what we're laboring. If we're cleaning a toilet for somebody or mopping the floor or talking to somebody about keeping their baby or to stop cutting themselves or to not change who they are, right? Labor and love. A.B. Simpson would go to the docks in the shipyards of New York and get to know the drunks, the outcasts, the ones that the world deemed unclean. And he would build a relationship with the community, and he loved the lost like Jesus. His church did not want the Irish immigrants to come in. His church didn't want the people dressed in less than what they would dress in. They didn't want those people. They said, they're not welcome here. A.B. Simpson turned in his resignation and left that church within a matter of a couple weeks after that. And by the way, he started a new church. And the Alliance, I don't know if you guys know this, is a little bit backstory about A.B. Simpson. He did not want to start a denomination. He was not trying to start another denomination. A.B. Simpson was being on mission in what every Christ follower should desire, which is all of Jesus for all the world. His heartthrob, his heartbeat for missions. And if you guys know the story, he put a mission team together and sent them out to the Congo, and every single one of them except for one met their demise, unfortunately. And that tore A.B. Simpson up bad, by the way. And he would have to go he would work so tirelessly that they would his church would have to send him away on sabbaticals for months at a time because he was sick. He would work so tirelessly to make himself sick. He was laboring in love. He wanted those Irish immigrants to come off the boats and hear the word of God, and he would talk to the drunks. What would it be like if we went into a bar and just started talking to people? Oh, I can't do that, Pastor. I can't do that. You know, that just makes us look bad. Okay. All right. Are we worried about our image, or are we worried about Jesus? And hearing, you know, are we worried about people dying and going to hell every single day, which we have people dying and going to hell every single day? People just don't seem to care. How many of you watched the Ohio State game last night? Okay, a couple of us. All right. How many of you went to a concert this weekend? Uh-huh. Okay. All right. Nothing wrong with those. Nothing wrong with those at all. But are we caring about the people who are dying and going to hell without hearing the gospel? See, my vision for football is to get people to come together and hang out and build a relationship like A.B. Simpson was at the dock. Have some barbecue and hang out with these people. Labor in love, right? Build a relationship. Invite the lost into something that they can come and feel. I hate to say it, folks, but people just feel judged by us, even if we were just to open up the Word of God. I cannot control how they feel, but we have a mission to be truthful. What was that shirt title that we want to make? Truth is truth. Truth is truth. My brother Sheldon King wants to make that shirt, you know, because love is love. He wants to say truth is truth. Truth is truth, right? People are going to be offended by the truth. Okay. Sorry. But we have to labor in love and tell them. A.B. Simpson understood that. He understood that mission to labor in love. And he did not want to start a denomination, but we became a denomination. The Christian and Missionary Alliance became a denomination in 1970. A.B. Simpson died in 1918 in Nyack, New York. As a matter of fact, Sarah and I got to see their house because she went to Nyack at a different time, and I went to Nyack, New York for a half a semester. I didn't like New York. I wanted to get out of there. But it was beautiful where the school was. I mean, it was over the Hudson River. I mean, we used to have pictures together when you'd look over the Hudson, and sometimes you'd just sit out on a pavilion and you just drink a cup of coffee and just bask in the beauty of God, God's beauty, right, in his artistic abilities. God is the ultimate artist. He's the ultimate physician. He's the ultimate everything. My first point, law of faith, James 2:14, law of faith, all right? Our labor should bear witness to what Christ has done in us. Our labor should bear witness to what Christ has done in us. Romans 3:21-27. But now, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. There is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace and a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as the propitiation by his blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because his divine forbearance, he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Christ Jesus. So I hope you guys kind of get the idea here. Our faith and our salvation is a gift. We cannot do anything to earn it. We cannot give God enough money to buy it, because all of the dollars in this world belong to God anyway. It's his money. He just allows us to have a little bit of it. And some people, this much. Some people, this much. It's his money. He can do with it whatever he pleases. Right? So, when we come to faith in Christ, and we truly, truly believe, remember, it said, and what did that verse say? Even the demons believe and shudder, but yet they're going to be cast into hell. So it's not just about faith. It's not just, okay, Lord God, I want to ask you to forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart, make me a new person, and then go out the next day and drink a 12-pack of beer and cuss like a sailor and everything like that. There has to be true repentance and true turning from sin. Now, I say that, people are still going to make mistakes. People are still going to struggle with some of the things that they struggled with before they became a Christian, a Christ follower. That doesn't make us okay, I said the prayer, now I'm going to be perfect. There's no such thing as a perfect person, right? But we labor in love. We turn and we start working out that salvation, the free gift that God gave us. So, God, I really love you, so I'm willing to give up X to go and serve you. That's why I titled this sermon Labor and Love, by the way. Labor and Love. There are a few words in that passage I just read that I want you guys to understand. The first one is justification. It's a legal term that means acquitted. It is a divine act where God makes humans who are sinful and therefore worthy of a guilty plea acceptable before God, who is holy and just through the faith in Jesus Christ. So we get to go and work out our salvation because we are found not guilty. Grace. God's loving action towards creation, his selfless giving of Jesus to enable people to enter into a loving relationship with God as the Holy Spirit enables them. Why wouldn't we want people to come and know that kind of God? Why wouldn't we invite them into the kingdom of God? I hear that Christians are funny people. They make Christianity look bad. They're too harsh. They're too stubborn. They're too ruley. They follow too many rules. They argue about theology points and this, that, and the other. When it comes to theology, if I can't find it in here, then it ain't worth saying. Ain't worth saying. My labor and love would be to keep my mouth shut sometimes. When we put our faith in Jesus and we become justified and have experienced the most gracious act of God, adopting us into the kingdom, James says that faith should be followed by works of obedience unto the Lord. We should show others that we were acquitted and found not guilty, even though we are. Michelle Gruber. I've had a couple of small conversations with her, and she cannot wait to get back into the mission field. But right now, I'll share with you what she's doing. She's working in the school system through the YMCA, right? And she's building relationships with parents and kids, getting them the help that they need. And she's still in the mission field here. She wants all of Jesus for all the world. Let me break down what that means, all of Jesus for all the world, because some people get hung up on that. That doesn't mean that everybody gets to go to heaven. That doesn't mean what it does mean is we have a mission, right? Our labor and love should be telling people that John 3:16 and Romans 3:23 and Ephesians 2:8 and 9, right? We should be going to Scripture and telling them. We should be laboring over that. Hey, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Well, I don't understand how you could love a guy like me, you know, or a gal like me, you know. I'm not a girl. But you get what, you get that. You hear that. I want to accept, but I don't think I can. I think the roof would fall in if I walked into a church. I've heard that one too. I've heard a number of excuses as to why they can't come to Christ. But maybe the Holy Spirit hasn't prompted their heart to accept. Laboring in love. We got to pray for those people. We have to pray for those people who don't understand the gospel. Aaron and Keisha have a very hard task in today's society. They're going to be laboring in love, talking to teenagers about Christ who give zero interest in Christianity. But they have agreed to do it because they want all of Jesus for all the world. They want my youngins to understand the gospel. And they're going to do their best to teach them expositorily through God's word. Folks, that's what we should be doing. We should be going to God's word and asking God, how do you want me to use this in somebody else's life? We're offering classes here. We started classes. So you guys, we have Wednesday night Bible study, right? Where we go through the book of Mark and we are breaking it down little bit by little bit and walking out of here with more knowledge. But what do you do with that knowledge? What do you do with it? Do you put it in a filing cabinet in your brain and don't use it? That's a spiritual glutton. But Ms. Becky, I know that you get to share Jesus with people at the hospital. You try to. You get to build somewhat of a relationship with those people. You volunteer and you help them at the... I heard you on the phone one day, you know, trying to help them go where they need to go. Right? You get to sit there for a couple hours a day and help people. Miss Nancy is the one who does our communion every week or every first Sunday. That's laboring in love. So people can share the Lord's Supper. And I appreciate you doing that so well. It looks beautiful all the time. We got other people laboring in love in this church. I know I got prayer warriors. Have a great day at work. I've got prayer warriors. You'll be all right. That's laboring in love too. Because any ministry that is successful has a prayer team behind it. That is why I encourage Aaron and Keisha to get 7 people to pray for them. So far, how many you got, Aaron? One. I need people to step up and pray for them and pray for that youth ministry. And I encouraged him to go outside of our church too. Because for people to labor in love and be able to do their job, they got to be prayed up. How do we know that? Well, we have an example. Jesus, when he was getting ready to be betrayed, or the night he was betrayed, getting ready to die on the cross, he went into the garden and he was praying so fervently that he sweat blood, right? And that's a legitimate scientific thing that I can't explain because I'm not a scientist or a medical person. My wife might be able to explain it better than I could, actually. But he sweat blood because he was praying so heavily, and he walked back, and what was his disciples doing? Sleeping. All of Jesus for all the world, that song, right? Wake up, your sleeping bride. Guys, we are the bride of Christ. And if I remember correctly, I know that my wife was running around the day we were getting married. She was running all over Timbuktu trying to get ready for that wedding. Why are we sleeping? Why are we sleeping as the bride of Christ? Why aren't we doing what we're supposed to be doing? Why aren't we laboring in love? Why aren't we getting a prayer team together for Aaron and Keisha? Why aren't we communicating better? It's not just check the box. Come to church, check the box, okay, I'll see you next week. It's not just about listening to me or Fish speak week after week. But we're trying to create a culture here that is welcoming, but yet we're truth is truth, right? So I forgot to mention the other class that we're starting, you know, the Tuesday night class is journeying through God's Word. And I know that there's some people who are like really anxious about that class. Folks, I'm telling you, just come. Just come to the class. That's all you got to do. That's the first step. Just show up. You may not understand everything. That's okay. But you're being faithful and you're laboring because you want to know God's Word better so that you can explain it to somebody better. I guarantee you, you'll find something that you can take away and put in your filing cabinet to be able to pull out when you talk to somebody. Show up. We talk about Abraham and his faith. He showed up. He showed up. God said to Abraham, Abraham, listen to me. I know I promised you a son and I gave it to you. But I want you to go and sacrifice your son. What did Abraham do? He was going to go sacrifice his son on the altar. That's in Genesis 22, by the way, that account. He was willing to obey God even when it concerned the life of his son. Maybe God is calling you out of your comfort zone. Maybe he's telling you to share your faith with someone. And he wants to work on building a relationship with that person, pour into them, pray with them, and spend time with them. See, Abraham was spending time with Isaac, and he was teaching him the Lord, right? I think that Abraham had enough faith that he said, okay, there's a couple of things that are going to happen. Either one, God's going to provide a sacrifice, and I'm not going to have to kill my son. Two, I'll sacrifice my son, and God will bring him back to life. Or three, maybe God just wanted him to go home already. And I'm going to have enough faith in any of those scenarios that I'm going to still believe in God. What we're talking about Abraham in the New Testament and James, and it said that he was called a friend of God. That's a title. Friend of God. He labored in love. He labored in love. He said, okay, I'm going to build the altar. I'm going to do it. And we obviously know the story, right? So I'm not going to leave you on a cliffhanger there. Obviously, God provided a ram in a thicket for Abraham to. He said, Abraham, do not kill your son. I was testing to see how faithful you would be. We know the story of Job, right? He was being tested as well. And he had people tell him, stop believing in God. Just curse God and die. And he said, I will not turn my back on God. We know the story of there, too. Job got everything back tenfold. But that's not prosperity gospel. Nowhere in the Bible does it say if you remain faithful to God that he's going to make you a millionaire. Or that you might lose everything and never get anything back. But are you willing to? Are you willing to make that sacrifice? Are you willing to labor in love? By the way, Abraham and Rahab are both mentioned in the Faith Hall of Fame chapter, Hebrews chapter 11. If you guys go read, you know that's one of my other favorite passages in the Bible, the Faith Hall of Fame. Joseph's in there, Abraham's in there, Rahab's in there. By faith, they did. By faith, they did. Right? Faith without works is dead. So we're laboring in love, right? We're laboring in love, working out our faith through works. Our faith should show, we should show our faith by the works that we do. I know a pastor that says, you could do all the work you want, just be productive at it. Be productive. Beware of the false prophets and the teachers out there. Those are false laborers. There's wolves in sheep's clothing, and you need to watch out for those people too. I want to share a story with you out of the Alliance magazine. It's out of our new one, by the way. And this is about laboring in love. It's not titled that, but I wanted to read this to you guys. Be present is on the front, right? Be present. Our missions this year, our missions goal, our mission statement this year for the Alliance is be present. I think it makes a lot of sense. You know, working at City Barbecue, I had to be present to take the people's money. I couldn't be yesterday, right? Because they were already there yesterday. I couldn't be there tomorrow, you know, I couldn't be taking their money tomorrow because it's not tomorrow yet. I had to be present. I had to be in front of them. And I think that's what we're trying to do right now as the church, as the bride of Christ. We should be present and in front of the people, showing them what our groom is doing or has done. He's getting ready to come back. It starts with the seed. It starts with the seed. I'm going to read this to you guys. It's a beautiful story. Nestled in a small coastal city in Senegal, which is rich in a diverse history with a strong identity in an African tradition and the majority religion, stands a church. It sits comfortably in one of the most poorest, most densely populated neighborhoods of the city, and its building reflects some of its own character: old, unassuming, steadfast. When the church was first planted nearly 30 years ago, the neighbors were suspicious and at times even hostile, not wanting anything to do with the threat of tradition. Not wanting anything to do with threat of tradition. We got that going on sometimes. However, the few believers who attend the church have spent their lives living out the gospel and meeting felt needs in the community through accessible health care, a holistic ministry for street boys, and quality education for underprivileged girls. Hundreds, if not thousands, in the community have heard the good news of Jesus as they have passed through the doors of the church. Suspicion and hostility have transformed into open arms and appreciation. Nearly everyone you meet in our city has either been personally impacted or has at least heard positive things about the church. Many have heard the gospel story again and again. Some have joined Bible study groups with others seekers, or have even come to the point where they say it is all true. Yet, very few are choosing to follow. While having a meaningful impact, the church remains small. But these few have still been faithful, and the second generation believers are bravely stepping into their roles and callings within the church or moving on to work in different cities, laboring in love. To be considered a member of a particular least reached people group in Senegal, you have to both speak the language of the people and practice the majority religion. To become a Christian would not only mean their close families may disown and persecute them, but also that they would lose their personal identity and place in society. This has a major impact on their lives in a culture where connection to the group brings security. From knowing your daily meals are provided for to receiving quality education and business opportunities. Since there are only a couple hundred believers within this people group in the entire country, our Christian Missionary Alliance team was surprised to find a small church made up of some deeply grounded believers. By the way, I believe we have deeply grounded believers here at CMA Church. We are a small church, but we are doing a lot for this, trying to do a lot for this community. We're trying to be Christ in this community. That we do have going on. From this people group, when we first came to this city in 2006, we saw the trust that they were building with their own people and decided to work alongside them to encourage them to plant churches instead of starting something from scratch on our own. Even hand in hand, the work had been slow. After all, how do you plant new churches when the one that you have is already too small to fully staff existing ministries? Let alone accomplish new ministry dreams. When COVID-19 hit Senegal, a shift happened in the way we did church, and our small fellowship began to replicate in ways we had only dreamed about before. Instead of meeting together in a stiff wooden bench on stiff wooden benches in the small sanctuary, the faithful few were leading small groups in worship in their own neighborhoods. Our team saw how this home church model looked more like a quickly replicating church planting movements than we had only heard about around the world, and we got excited. We started praying hard for a shift in mentality for the start of something new. There is my prayer ministry. You've got to be praying over the ministry. As restrictions were lifted, the church began meeting all together again in that old cement block building, and another shift did take place. This is a name change to keep this person protected. Musa, the pastor of the church, had recently moved to a village in the north and had invited many of his neighbors to join Sunday worship meetings in his home. Musa announced that Musa announced that though the church typically invited new believers into the existing church, he wanted to continue to meet with and disciple these people in his own home. The commute was not feasible for most who live that far away. In that moment, we realized that we had been thinking too small. For years, our team had been working to start something new within the city or with outlying villages and had been discouraged time and time again. We are unable to buy property in one area. In another village, we had a relationship and even had an invitation from the chief to build a church in his community, only to find out the government was about to level the village and build a new airport. Maybe it was time to think further out, where it shouldn't be feasible to commute any existing church. Maybe it was time for us to go where the gospel had never been proclaimed. Together, our local church partners, we decided to buy property in another northern village where we didn't have any relationships yet, let alone an invitation from its chief to build a church. We prayerfully considered how we would walk into a community in a new way and bring the kingdom into the daily lives of these villagers. Life in the village is calm. Large courtyards filled with desert sand meet to make a web as tight-knit as the people who make their homes in a two-room cement block buildings. Villagers spent the afternoons together in shade, eating around large bowls and sipping tiny cups of sweet tea. In the evenings, they gathered around small, dated television sets. Many children go to the local schools every morning and afternoon to attend a religious school on the weekends where they learn from their holy book. When they have free time, they race out to play soccer with their friends in the streets. The adults in the community largely work in shifts for nearby agriculture companies. Even though there are no markets, very few people leave the village to go into a nearby city because public transportation rarely comes. Despite previous contact with the foreigners and access to Christian media on the radio and television, and as far as we know, the gospel has never been proclaimed personally in this community. Here's a young man who's getting ready to labor in love. One young man in the village, Omar, was one of the first to curiously welcome us. As we made visits out to dream and pray over the property we had acquired, Omar continued to show up and greet us warmly. One day, our local partner, Amadou, gave him a small solar flashlight that was also a radio, pre-programmed with the New Testament, read aloud in his language. In the days that followed, Omar shared that he was enjoying what he had been hearing. His wife had been listening to it as she cooked and cleaned in his parents' home where they lived. One day, Omar's father, Muhammad, called Amadou and demanded that he take back the radio because Muhammad did not want his son listening to such things. Amadou respectfully responded, "It was a gift. It is no longer mine to give back or take back. I understand if you do not want your son to listen to it, but I cannot take back a gift that has already been given." Omar decided to keep the radio with the conviction that it was his own decision, not his father's or ours, to choose what he will believe. As our team has spent many afternoons with his family and a couple other families in the village, all of them, including Muhammad, have only been kind and welcoming to us. We are in the process of finishing a wall around the property, which we hope one day will be filled in the afternoons with young men learning about the Messiah while doing the one thing they love most, soccer. Though we're still in the dreaming phase, we are hoping that as a faithful believer step out, this will become an expansion of the church where the kingdom of heaven impacts the everyday life of these villagers and brings hope. We praise God that though there have been setbacks in this work, we have not encountered hostility like the early church in our city. Pray with us that the Holy Spirit will continue to go before us, softening hearts, breaking through that in the everyday moments, the kingdom of light will be experienced first in us and then around us. Laboring in love, planting seeds, praying, being willing to step out and go into another village and acquire property. Folks, we're going to have setbacks here at CMA. We're going to have setbacks. It's part of ministry. But what are we doing to continue to share the gospel, to continue to plant the seeds of those around us? Today is Communion Sunday, but I have a challenge before we dive into communion. This coming Wednesday, it is Brother Gary and I's turn to cook for everybody. I would like to see 50 people at Bible study this week. Invite. Invite them to a barbecue. Invite them to a barbecue. Folks, a lot of people don't like to come into a church building. Fine. Invite them anyway. Tell them, Jesus and barbecue. You can't go wrong. Jesus and barbecue. All right. The Lord's Supper is an act of obedience and faith. 1 Corinthians 11:25 through 28. I'm going to read that, and then Brother Gary, I'm going to call on you to come assist me, brother. You know, we do the Lord's Supper the first Sunday of every month because we want to remember what Jesus did for us. He broke his body for us. He shed his blood for us. I don't want it to be just a another thing we do. It's not a tradition. I mean, it is a tradition, but I don't want it to be a facade. I don't want it to be fake. I want it to be real. I want it to be, you know, we show people by this act that we have enough faith in Jesus that we do this in love. Laboring in love, right? 25 through 28 says this, in the same manner, or in the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this is the new cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink of the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let me go back up real quick. I'm sorry. Verse 23. For I have received from the Lord what I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night when he was betrayed took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then he took the cup. It was a new covenant that we are going to be able to be saved by faith alone in Jesus, who shed his blood and broke his body for us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We're going to pray over the Lord's Supper. If at this time you guys are not willing or not able to participate, maybe you have something that you're you have to work something out and you don't feel like taking communion, no harm, no foul. We don't push anybody to do communion here. You don't have to take communion. But if you would like to come to communion, how it will work, after I pray, Brother Gary and I will be holding the elements, and we'll have an aisle down here, and everybody can come forward and get the elements. If you cannot come and get the elements for whatever reason, hold your hand up, and at the end of the communion, hold your hand up, and we'll bring the elements to you. I don't know how, that's how we'll do that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and pray over the Lord's Supper. Our dear gracious and heavenly Father, Lord God, thank you so much for sending your Son to be the ultimate sacrifice for us. He was broken and he bled for us so that we can have eternal life and we can be called sons and daughters of the King, you, Lord God. Lord, there are so many people out there who don't have faith right now in your Son. They don't have faith. Some people have faith that there is no God. And that's just the wrong kind of faith to have. Lord God, as we prepare our hearts and our minds, let us clear our hearts and our minds for just a brief moment. Not worry about the outside world. But let us have the Lord's Supper and communion with you. Holy Spirit, just take over and let these people share the communion together, remembering what Jesus did for us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You guys may...